Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is our text. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A fellow pastor tells the story of a woman by the name of Ruth. Ruth had lost her first husband. He had passed away. She had been widowed for a few years when she met a man from this pastor's congregation. And they started dating and hit off a relationship and they were married. Her new husband was a faithful Lutheran. And so Ruth, the dutiful wife and the devout woman and an eager Bible student, began to attend worship with the Lutherans. And she even began to take adult instructions as a way of membership, perhaps into the congregation. But it wasn't that easy. See, Ruth's grandfather had been a pastor in another church body, not in fellowship with the Lutherans. And her and her grandfather had a very special relationship as she was growing up. And so for the thought of her leaving her grandfather's denomination to become a Lutheran was at times a bridge too far. Yet over time she had grown to love the Lutheran Church and its teachings. And in her heart she knew that she needed to finally join the congregation she had been worshiping in for, by this time, a number of years. She called the pastor and asked if she could have a meeting with him one last time before she made her final decision. And when they sat down, the conversation went to, "Pastor, tell me again the differences between the Lutherans and my grandfather's denomination." And through the conversation, they finally got to the Lord's Supper, and in particular, the sacrament of the altar. The pastor exclaimed that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." You see, Ruth, we believe it's the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ because he said so. Under the form of bread and wine, there is the body and blood of Jesus. And Ruth's response was, "This is what I've always believed." Ruth simply believed the Word of God. The Word that Jesus Christ spoke, that this is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the form of bread and wine, instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and drink. But regrettably, there are many who hear the voice of Jesus in Scripture and refuse to believe it. After all, how can the flesh and blood of Jesus be under the bread and wine? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. See, Ruth and Martin Luther knew that these people can't bring themselves to believe. And for them, it's simply a dinner table upon which bread and wine are placed and where they remember. But if Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," and Scripture tells us that he is not a liar and he does not deceive, therefore that is what it is. See, in Luther's catechisms, he talks about understanding the Lord's Supper really comes in three parts. The first one is, what is it? Ruth had that one nailed. It's the flesh and blood of Christ under the form of bread and wine. The second question follows, what's the benefit? What's the purpose? And then the last question is, who then should receive it? Ruth's issue is never with the idea of what it is. But at times we struggle with, what is its benefit? Why take it? Why do we have the Lord's Supper so often here at Emmanuel? Well, when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," Luther explains it in this way. For this reason, we go to the sacrament. There we receive such a treasure by in which we gain forgiveness of sins. Christ asks me to eat and to drink so that this treasure may be my own and may benefit me. See, because there is forgiveness of sins, it's called food for the soul. I have a pastor friend who likes to refer to it as the elixir of life. That sounds cool. Or what was the other one? The other one was, medicine of immortality. I've been tempted to say that when I commune you. Receive the elixir of life. The medicine of immortality. It's really what it is. I'm sure that many of you have struggles in your Christian life if you're anything like me. There's good days, there's bad days, there's challenges that occur, but our lives are no different than those who have gone before us. Let me give you an example. The children of Israel wandering in the wilderness without their GPS for 40 years in the wilderness where no fruit grows and where there's no water. And through all that trial and all that temptation, God fed the nation of Israel with bread from heaven and water from a rock. When your road gets long and difficult, when the challenges that you face in life seem insurmountable, it's that same Heavenly Father that feeds you with bread from heaven to strengthen your faith and to encourage you. You see, Jesus defeated your enemies of sin, death, and the devil by a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. The work of buying you back from death is complete. Your sin has been utterly paid for. The treasures of heaven Christ delivers unto you. Forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. I love it because God deigns to do it through tangible means, through bread and wine, through water and word. There God chooses to transport the forgiveness that Christ won and to bestow it upon you and upon me. What is it? The flesh and blood of Jesus under bread and wine. What's the benefit? Forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of my faith. But the hard question is, who is to receive it? In other words, who is the person that receives this treasure and benefit in the sacrament? It sounds like a stupid question, doesn't it? Well, Pastor, everyone that comes forward, therefore, that everybody gets it. When you give them the bread and the wine under which the body and blood is, everybody gets forgiveness of sins and everybody gets strengthening of faith. In Luther's catechism, he says, whoever now accepts these words and believes that what they declare is true, namely the forgiveness of sins, has forgiveness. But whoever does not believe it has nothing. You know, there's a lot of things we do in church that symbolize stuff, and sometimes it overwhelms me as your pastor. I want to just keep reviewing and explaining. Like I'm wearing a surplus because it's white, because it's the righteousness of Christ that covers all the black that's underneath my sin. I wear the collar because it's the vocal box of heaven. It shows that I'm a slave to the congregation. Great symbolism, but we often miss it. But in the Lord's Supper, it's amazing. Shortly after the Reformation, when there's this big contention between the Lutherans and the Reformed, the Zwinglians, those that believed that the flesh and blood of Christ was not present, that it was only bread and wine, when their pastor handed them the sacrament, they would take the bread and break it in half to say, see, there's no body and blood here. Our Lutheran church's first constitution lists the heresy that is to be forbidden within our churches. It was called the fracturing of the host. Pastors weren't to consecrate and break the bread. They were to give it, and the congregation received it in special ways. Many congregants would put their hands like this as a throne in which the body of Christ is placed and then placed into my mouth. And others would have an even stronger confession by simply having them place it upon my lips because I am being fed. But there are many people that don't believe that the flesh and blood of Jesus is there at all. And God's word simply says they eat and drink damnation or judgment upon themselves. On the other hand, whoever believes the words has what they declare, namely the forgiveness of sins. I recently read about a pastor who says, I begin the congregation service by pronouncing the forgiveness of all of their sins. And then I get to the sermon where I proclaim that through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, that your sins are all forgiven. Has there ever been a time that you felt like you're really not forgiven? I know I kind of go back to this, beat the same drum all the time. Pastor, you ask me that question all the time. But are there times when you think to yourself that my faith is so weak that I can't possibly have the forgiveness of Jesus? Pastor, I'm not sure my faith is strong enough to come to the Lord's Supper. And our Lord would say, come unto me all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you strength. Come receive my flesh and blood, which is given and shed for you, not only for the forgiveness of your sins, but also for the strengthening of your faith. If you've ever felt that way, let me assure you that when you come to the sacrament, kneel at this altar, you take the very flesh and blood of your Savior into your mouth. And you receive from Him exactly what He promised you. Forgiveness. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.